Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, January the 11th, 2015.
You sing with me tonight. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something
joy of heaven, oh precious You may be seated, and I've asked Dan Borma if he would to come and share with us.
That's good to be able to share again in song tonight. You know, that day when they took Jesus down from the cross, they laid him on the ground, and then they picked him up and carried his lifeless body to a tomb. And there they thought he was going to be there forever, didn't they? But he wasn't. He rose the third day. I know this song here is probably familiar to a lot of you folks tonight. It says, "Then came the morning." They all walked away, had nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that was said, now he was dead, so this was the way it would end. The dreams he had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now he was dead and gone. The garden, the jail, the hammer, the nails. How could this night be so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. And death had lost and life had won. For morning had come. The angels, the stars, all the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done. They'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true, 'cause she watched him die too. She heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone, it was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won. For morning had come. Oh, death had lost and life had won. For morning had come. Morning had come.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. Appreciate your passion for music. I really do. Dan's got a great heart, and appreciate his love for Southern gospel music too. So, just a couple more songs tonight. As I was looking through music this week, and we'll take an offering at the end of the service tonight for the Barkabines. But as I was thinking through some songs this past week, a song came across my mind as I was looking, and it's entitled "Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord." And I was looking at some scripture, and Psalm 27:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies." And later on in that passage, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Take courage, be strong, but wait." And I love the lyrics in this song, and I hope that you'll take them away tonight and they'll minister to you during the week. Sometimes we don't spend enough time looking for that teaching that God gives us. It's there. We were talking a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning, about truth and being grounded in the truth. But I hope that the song will speak to you tonight as we sing, "Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord," and then we'll end with, "At Your Feet, O Lord."
Teach me thy way.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Well, Dale, come, open the Word, and you were speaking somewhere this morning, and I've forgotten over with Alan, I think, weren't you? Anyway, I told the story this morning about the two most, I guess you'd say, devastating times that I've ever had as a pastor, and that Saturday when I had to come in to with the police officer and talk to you, and then we had to drive to a variety of places. As I think back on it now, that was a miserable, miserable time and difficulty, but the Lord has brought some unbelievably encouraging kinds of things. And, you know, I think Annabelle's been a blessing in your life. And
It was difficult at that time, but over the years, God has used it to bless me a mighty way. And so I wouldn't say I trade it for anything. I thank the Lord for bringing me through it.
Amen. Appreciate you.
I want to say, first of all, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being able to be here tonight. Thank you for partnering with us to reach those in the Philippines. You're a vital part of the ministry. Without you right here, we wouldn't be there today. So we deeply say thank you. Tonight, I want to look at the word in a little different way, thinking about life. And I want to bring some information from the ministry. Many times we are asked, or many times especially young people ask the question, what is life all about? What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Well, searching through the scriptures and seeking God's word, it's important to know, I don't have this flicker here. Let me see if this works. Life is about choices. We make choices every day, consistently throughout our life. You made a choice to bring here tonight. Others have made choices not to be here. Whether you are in the ministry or not in the ministry, you're still going to make choices on a daily basis. And these choices not only affect you, but they come with consequences. Consequences that affect my life, your life, and those around you. Tonight, if we will turn to Proverbs chapter 2, I want to share the first 6 verses with you. Proverbs chapter 2 is an important thing. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Let's begin with prayer, asking God to open our hearts and our minds, seeking information from his word. Father, we want to say thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity of being here tonight and being able to share your word and share some insights that you have opened in our lives. Thank you for the ministry, and we ask that you work through us as we travel shortly. Lord, especially with this church and the transition, Lord, we ask for wisdom in that as well. May your name be praised, in Jesus' name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God requires seeking that wisdom so we can have those consequences that are correct, that are righteous. I want to share with you part of the ministry here. I want you to look carefully at Wilson. He made a choice. It was a very poor choice. Though he says he's a Christian, and he says he's close to God and he knows God, look carefully at the right side of his head. He made a choice to get totally intoxicated. In fact, he's an alcoholic, which many of the men there in the Philippines are. It's a very troublesome situation. He also made a choice not to wear a helmet when he got on his motorcycle. He was not going very fast, but he lost his balance and he fell off that motorcycle in his head on a concrete road. He spent a long time and through several surgeries in the hospital. But that has not only affected his life, it has affected his wife, Marlene, his children that live with them, and his grandchildren that live there. A poor choice. Now, is he the only one that makes poor choices? Oh, no. We all make poor choices at times. I'll show you another one. Look carefully. I didn't get to have a chance to share with you all during the missions conference about Victor. Victor, when we found him, I thought, well, he's 9 months old, severely malnourished, and at the point of death. And I told my wife, I said, if we don't get help for him immediately, he's going to die. She looked at me and she said, you're overreacting. And I said, no, I am not. I know malnutrition when I see it. And he is severely malnourished. We've got to get him some help. We contacted a doctor and they said he would help, or they would help. But and we asked the parents, and the parents said, yes, if you can help him, help him. But we could not help him right away. We went to the barangay captain, because the doctor told us you have to have the health officials, the barangay health officials, permission. So we went to the barangay captain and said, you know, we need some help for this young man back in the woods here, back in the hills. He's dying. And if we don't help him fast, he's going to be dead. And he said, well, I don't know about any young man back there. And I said, well, he's there. And so we went to the health official, and the health official says, no, there's no young man back there dying. He said, there was a young man back there dying, but he died already a long time ago. I said, oh, no, he's still alive. And they said, no, he's dead. And they said, we cannot give you permission to help him. And so we went, Annabelle had a friend that was also trying to help him a little bit with some physical therapy. And so he knew some higher officials. And so we went to those higher officials, got permission to get little Victor into the hospital. Took us a month to get that permission. When he went to the hospital, we were surprised. We found out he was not 9 months old. He was 6 years old. He had been in that condition, continuing to deteriorate for 6 long years in a little bamboo bassinet that his little sister, her four-year-old, would take care of him. He weighed 6 kilos, which is about 12 to 15 pounds. They would feed him what they call rice milk, which is the water, the white water off the top of the rice when they boil the rice. And that's all he got for 6 years from a bottle. His umbilical cord was never properly taken care of. It was bleeding. He had flies all over him. But his mother made a choice. We asked her why she made the choice of feeding him rice water or rice milk instead of breastfeeding him and then getting him some milk. She said, well, the doctor told me I didn't need to breastfeed him. And I know that's not true because the doctors there encourage breastfeeding. But he was dying. So he spent the next 6 months with us, 24/7. And after those 6 months, we not only had him sitting up, we had him standing. And he became mobile in the house. He's still, at this time, he's now 8 years old. He is not walking yet. He's not talking. He cannot feed himself. But he'll be always brain damaged because of the malnutrition. And now the parents don't even want him. They don't really want to take care of him. He's an embarrassment to them. But it was a choice that they made. and they don't want to suffer the consequences of that choice, so they just want to push him off. And it's not right. He has dignity like each one of us do. He has a heart. He has feelings. And it's not right to treat him as an animal. But it's choices. They also say they are Christians. They also profess to know God. But their lives are atrocious. They are steeped in alcohol as well, both the mother and the father. Alcoholics. They would rather buy alcohol than feed the child. A poor choice. A very, very poor choice. But these are the things we're trying to minister there. And the only thing that can change a life, I don't know what happened. I don't know what I did. I don't know anything about this thing. I don't know what I did at all. Oh, there we go. Is to be in the Word. The Word of God, grounded in the Word, will give us the wisdom, according to Proverbs here, will give us the wisdom to understand who God is and get to know Him, for He is the author of wisdom. There we go. Make those choices, wise choices, is know Him. Now, how do we get to know Him? How do we get to know God through the Word? Let's look at Job 23:12. Job 23:12 says that we need to love the Word more than our necessary food. The food that's physically necessary, that little Victor needed desperately, we also need. But we need something more. We need spiritual food. So when we go into a different areas, the different, what we call barangays, the different communities around us, we always tell them we want to do a Bible study with a group of people here. And they are encouraged, oh, we like Bible studies. I said, okay, do you have a Bible? And most of them do not. They are Catholic and they're not encouraged to read the Bible. They're not encouraged to own a Bible. So the first thing we do is we purchase Bibles in their language, in the Ilocano or the Tagalog. We can get them for about $3.50 a piece, soft cover, a paperback cover, but it's rather thick. And we give those to them first. Then we start from the beginning, from Genesis, and start walking through that Word, teaching them the life they need to have, the wisdom that they need to have through that Word, what God has for us and His plan for mankind. So we need to love that Word. To love the Word, once you begin to love the Word, you want to learn that Word. Revelation 3:20 says, open the door and fellowship with Him, and He will fellowship with you. So you have to open the door of His Word. Jesus is the Word of God. So open His Word. The written Word and the person of Jesus Christ, the only difference is He is, this is written, and He's physical, He's bodily, He's alive. But He's the Word of God. Revelation 19:13 says He is the Word of God. So you open His Word and get to know Him. Learn it. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate day and night on His Word. all the time. The focus of your life. And then in Deuteronomy, Moses, as he was telling the people, he says, gather the people together, that they may hear the word of God, learn it, and learn the fear of the Lord. Understand who God is and get to know him. So we need to love that word as the total focus of our lives, wholeheartedly devoted to it, and learn it and teach it to our children, to others. So we go out into the different barangay areas or the different communities and do those Bible studies. We have generally one every day, except for maybe, I think Monday we had off. But when we go back, we will start Bible studies on those as well. Sometimes two, sometimes three a day. It depends on what we're doing. But we're teaching people the Word of God because it's the only thing that can change life so that they can make wise choices and live right. Once you begin to learn the word, you want to lean on the word. You need to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. He will give you that wisdom to know him and the wisdom and understanding of his word as the Holy Spirit leads you through it. John 1 says the word in the beginning was God. And in verse 14, became flesh, the incarnate word of God. The incarnate God here in the flesh, bodily. To live on this world, to show us the right way to live, the relationship with him, to die on the cross and save us from our sins, rising again, as Brother Dan sang this morning or this evening, rising again on the third day, triumphant over death, giving us life, giving us hope, giving us a future. That's victory. And it's all because of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And that Word was with God. That Word was God and became flesh. It's exciting to see all that he is doing. He's doing so much, not only in the Philippines, but all over the world. You have missionaries in many different parts, and it's exciting to see each one and what they're doing. Lives are being changed. God is working. I was at a church a while back, and the pastor said, why is there no miracles here in the U.S., and only see them on the foreign field? He said, we encourage our people to go to the foreign field, different places, and see God working there. He said, because he's not working here. I said, oh, yes, he is. I said, open your eyes. Each person that accepts the Lord as their personal Savior is a miracle. It's a miracle because it's a life that was dead is alive. It's a resurrection in itself. It's a life that can be changed. And it's encouraging. It's exciting to watch him work. Now comes where the rubber meets the road. You got to live that word. But you can't live the word if you don't love the word. And you can't live the word if you don't lean on it. And you can't live it if you don't learn it. It's so important. Luke 11:28, Jesus himself was saying, "Blessed are they that hear the word and keep it." Hearing is one thing. Wilson heard the word, and we're doing Bible studies with him because he said, "I've got a second chance. I don't want to mess the second one up." He said, "I want the word of God in my life." He said, I thought I knew him. He said, "I would pray, even though I was drunk, I would pray." So I figured, oh, I know God, I can pray. But he didn't know God, and he doesn't know God. Eli and Samuel was the high priest. His sons were priests, but what does God say about them? They don't know me. There's a lot of Christians out there that really do not know God. They know about him, but they don't really know him because they're not deep in the word of God and they don't know what's here. They'll pick it up once in a while and maybe read it, but it's not their life. It's only part of it. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10, Judah went after Israel was, the northern countries or the northern communities were taken away, Judah was on the verge of being removed. And Jeremiah shared God's word with him. He said, "Listen, you think you know him, but you're only pretending. It's only a pretense. You're doing the sacrifices, you're doing different things. Outwardly, you're living it or trying to. But inwardly, you're dead. You need to be alive inside. You need to be alive in the Word. Only this as a focus of your life will give you life." So you've got to live that Word. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read verse 17 and 18. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Wisdom, knowing him through his word. So that you can live it. As you get into the Word of God and grounded in it and know it, service is an automatic extension of that. Automatic. Because God works in you and you want to be where He wants you. You want to be doing all the things that He wants you to do. Because you want to please him. He's your master. He's your Lord. He's not part of your life. He is your life. And in James, if we'll turn over to James chapter 3, it reiterates that again. In verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." It's wisdom that are required to make those wise choices. And wise choices come with right consequences. So right actions, bringing right consequences, gives you a righteous life. That's what righteousness is about. Right consequences, right actions. So in concluding, I want to say one thing. He says we need to not only love the word, but love it so much that we desire deeply to learn it from cover to cover, meditating on it consistently, continuously. Learning it, being led by the Spirit to understand all that God has for us and live it. It's an extension. We need to be an extension of His hands, reaching others all over. We have neighbors. Do they know that you're a believer? You have people that you work with. Do they know? Can they tell by your life, by your actions, by your words? Draw close to Him through that daily relationship. He'll draw close to you. He's promised to. It's a lifelong process. God doesn't bring you through the humps and the bumps in life for no reason at all. He's molding you and making you. Like I shared earlier when Pastor was talking, the things in my life, looking back over, now I would say I wouldn't give them for anything. I thank God for bringing me through them, because it's taught me to love Him more and to trust Him more. The night that Mary was killed, that very night, of course, I couldn't sleep. I didn't know what the future held. But I dropped to my knees and I said, "Thank you, Lord. I know you're doing something here. I don't know what it is, but I want to be obedient. You have something for me." And what a blessing. Annabelle in my life has been an encouragement, and I love her dearly. And Diana is back in the youth. What a part of the ministry. What a team God has put together. He's doing it. He's doing all of it. And He'll do it through you too. It's exciting. Build that relationship. Love Him through His word. Lean on Him. Thank you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.